At this time, it is my privilege to introduce our speaker today, Monica Cousins. Monica and Scott love this community, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what the Lord has given to Monica to give to us. And at this time, I'm just going to pray for Monica. Lord, we thank you for Monica, and we thank you for her love for you and her love for us. And we thank you for her willingness and bravery to stand up here and give us your word this morning. And we ask, Lord, that your spirit would be over her, on her, in her, through her. And Lord, that we would hear what you are saying through her to us this day. And Lord, we thank you for her, and we thank you for Scott, and we ask that you'd be with him and be with her this morning as she speaks to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Soli. Hey, everybody. I feel the love, and so I appreciate that. I feel the love. I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to Pastor Daniel for inviting me to share the pulpit. Big shoes to fill. You're very brave to let me up here and talking for half an hour. Who knows what can happen? I also want to thank all of the people who've been praying for me as I've been preparing, and you guys all know who you are, and there's probably more that I know about, and all my family online. Love you guys. I know they're, I'm being carried. I couldn't be up here without all of you. Truly, God has put us in community for a reason, and that is very apparent to me this morning. Lastly, I've got to stick close to the mic, sorry, Ian. My biggest thanks goes to my husband, Scott. He's always been my biggest cheerleader and supporter all my life. And I am so grateful for the gift that you are to me. It continues to go on. The gift keeps giving. He's also, little side note here, he also actually did a run for me this morning. I actually forgot to put on deodorant this morning. I made him go home and get the deodorant because we're talking nervous sweat here. That's the husband that he is. I've had 3 weeks to prepare for this moment, and it's been a roller coaster. I fluctuated from sheer terror and wanting to throw up to sheer joy in preparing and studying God's word and listening to the Spirit. I even suggested to Scott that he film a behind-the-scenes film for you guys so that you could just see what a great guy he is and what a crazy girl this is. That he has to...
behind a paywall, if anybody wants.
Okay, oh boy. You know, when Jesus asks you to follow him, you don't know where you're going to end up. And I never would have believed it would be here. But when Jesus asks you to do something, the only right answer is yes. Like Mary, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your will. Unlike Mary, it took me 3 invitations over a number of years before I said yes. But the Holy Spirit is patient and he is persistent. As most of you know, we're in a series called Teach Us to Pray, looking at the Lord's Prayer taken from Matthew 6. Pastor Ben and Pastor Daniel started us off a couple of weeks ago with Our Father in Heaven. They talked about the transcendence of God, which is the fact that he is so far above and beyond us in a category all his own. And they talked about the immanence of God, which is the fact that he chooses to be near to us, and he wants to be in relationship to us. Then last week, Pastor Daniel talked about prayer as a privilege secured for us by Jesus. Prayer is about connecting with God and communing with God. It's not about coming to him as a consumer or trying to control him. Before we look at our scripture for today, I want to say a few words about heaven. And Pastor Daniel talked about this a little bit last week. Some of us grew up with the notion that heaven is way up there in the sky, far away from us here on earth. I grew up singing, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." And I grew up thinking when I died, I would go up to heaven or down to hell. But to a first century Jewish Palestinian, heaven was very different. Heaven meant all around us. So it's not only above us, but it's beneath us, and it's alongside us. Heaven is one of the dimensions of a multi-dimensional universe. Things are not what they seem. If you think about it, the God who walked in the garden with Adam and Eve always wanted to be present with his people. God's desire to be near us is shown in the Old Testament with the building first of the tabernacle and then the temple. These were the places where God resided, and they were built in the middle of Israelite community. Then in the New Testament, when Jesus arrived, he lived and ministered with and among his followers. And after his ascension, Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Daryl Johnson says heaven is the atmosphere in which we live. It's the air we breathe. We need to ask Holy Spirit to make us more aware of the reality of heaven. 24/7, worship is happening all around us. 24/7, God is reigning all around us. And one day, Jesus will unveil the new heavens and the new earth all around us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Today we're going to look at the next three phrases of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Our prayers are part of God's process by which his kingdom comes. Isn't that amazing? God's sovereignty and our prayers working together. That's a mystery for the ages. My hope and prayer is by the end of my talk today, you'll be able to pray these petitions from your heart, knowing that you are loved by your Father, knowing that your Father is good and his will for you is perfect. Let me just pray for us. Oh God, we love you. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you are here. Thank you that you are here to meet with us. And so we open up our ears to hear what you're saying. We open up our hearts to receive into them what you want to impart to us today. Mm-hmm. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in this room today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start by being a little bit nerdy, but only small and nerdy, not big and nerdy. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the verbs that are used in these first three petitions are all in the imperative mood, which simply means they're commands? So I could read this, be hallowed your name, come your kingdom, be done your will. Scott might tell you that I often speak to him in the imperative mood. So it's very strange. You wouldn't typically use this mood to speak to a superior, and yet Jesus does just that here. Why? Because we are commanding God to do what only God can do. Right. It's only God who can accomplish his purposes and plans. The Lord's Prayer is only effective if we have a Father sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are expressing our allegiance to him and our love for him and for his priorities in the world, which again, only he has the power to bring about. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed has old English roots meaning to be made holy or to be greatly revered and honored. Well, in today's culture, God's name and his reputation are not honored. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project says that when we pray this prayer, we are part of the process to restore our Father's reputation and his noble name. So hallow your name, Father. Make yourself as real here on earth as you are in heaven. In ancient times, a person's name also encompassed their character. Can you help me, please, here by calling out some of your favorite attributes of our Father?
Faithful.
Loving.
Forgiving.
Provider.
Merciful.
Trustworthy.
Eternal.
Holy. Hilarious? I love it. Hilarious. Yes, he can be. This is hilarious, actually. He's laughing a lot right now. Thank you. Those are only some of his attributes. The more time we spend with him and in Scripture, the more we understand and uncover the beautiful facets of his character. Our Father is one of a kind. He is so far above us, and yet he chooses to come near to us and let us boldly come near to him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. The Oxford Dictionary has two definitions for kingdom. The first is the kind of the normal one, a country, state, or realm ruled by a king or queen. But it's the second definition that we need here, and that is the spiritual reign or authority of God. I was really surprised to find that in the dictionary. The arrival of Jesus on earth was a turning point in history. It was the beginning of God's kingdom or reign, invading earth and restoring all of creation by bringing heaven and earth back together again, the way it was meant to be from the beginning. Jesus announces this in Mark 1:15. As he begins his ministry, he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." With the death of Jesus, his resurrection, and his ascension, the long war was won, defeating our enemy and putting Jesus on the throne. Revelations 4, verses 1 and 2, John is speaking, and he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." Not an empty throne, someone sitting on it. The Lamb of God, Jesus, is sitting on the throne and reigning as we speak now. Despite our circumstances and experiences here on earth, like sickness, loss of loved ones, financial struggles, wars, the natural disasters, corruption, injustice, we need to remember that someone is sitting on the throne now. Someone has authority over the universe. Someone has boundaries on how much evil is allowed to affect us and for how long. Did you hear that? The Father has put boundaries on how much evil is allowed to affect us and for how long. Without those boundaries, things would be so much worse here. The Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, is sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning and making intercession for us as we walk here on earth with the Spirit. That brings me so much comfort and relief. Why? Well, because we already know the end of the story. I may or may not be someone who has occasionally read the last pages of a book before I've decided whether to read the book or not. Well, most of us here have read the book, and spoiler alert, it's good news. Our Father wins. We will live happily ever after with him in the new heavens and the new earth. Does this break your hearts for our families and friends and those who don't yet know Jesus? I hope so. I hope it kindles a fire in you and in me to be bold in our prayers and our witness. We have hope and such good news to share. So Jesus is sitting on the throne, and he is reigning and ruling. As followers of Jesus, we can walk in the realization of that, recognizing that our King reigns now. We're asking that he would establish his purposes here on earth. We're asking for justice to be done, for people to be saved, and for evil to be abolished. How does this happen? Well, two things. We can keep praying, "Come, your kingdom, God. Only you can do it. Come and make things right. Make yourself as real here as you are in heaven." And second, as followers of God, we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we love our neighbors as ourselves. Tim Mackey says that those two commandments cover the kingdom's highest value and ethics. We obey his commands. We expand his kingdom by loving our neighbor, being kind to our spouses and our children, studying or working with integrity, standing up for the oppressed, walking in the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that every time we operate in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we are advancing his kingdom. The reign of God is partially here. It's not complete yet. It is veiled. But when Jesus comes again, it will break through in fullness. In the meantime, we pray, Father, break through the thin veil between heaven and earth. Come and manifest here what is not yet visible. Heal, restore, free. Do what you do, Father. Matthew 6:33 from the Sermon on the Mount says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well. Focus on God and his kingdom and watch how he takes care of your other needs. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is the final phrase we're looking at today. I agree with Daryl Johnson, who said that the older we get, the more we realize that we don't know how to make life work. But also, the older we get, the more we discover how good the will of God is, and the more we understand what Jesus meant by his prayer. The word for will here, thelema, has a sense of both purpose and pleasure. It conveys a note of goodness. This means that in the definition of will of God, there is goodness built into it. Jesus understood his Father's goodness. He lived his whole life in obedience to his Father's will. He was always saying, I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus knew that his Father loved him, and he knew that his Father was good, and his will was perfect. Jesus knew that he could trust his Father, even when it came to pain and suffering. When we pray, your will be done, we are conceding that the big story we're living in is not about us. We're not the main characters or the stars of the show. Our Father invites us to play a part in his beautiful story by joining him in what he wants to accomplish here in the world. For many years, I thought that I was the star of the show. I did. My sisters would say that anyway. They would totally say that. I thought that I had to strive to attain perfection here on earth in my lifetime, and I worked hard at it. And I had to strive to accomplish great things for God in my own strength. Doesn't that sound exhausting? It was. And it wasn't until I audited my first class at Regent back in 1998. Yeah, that's probably before most of you were born. It was Eugene Peterson teaching spiritual formation from Ephesians. I learned the truth in that class. It was a relief to find out that there is someone sitting on the throne who is loving and good, wise and altruistic. And you know what? He's got this. It's his story. He doesn't need me to set the world right. For this oldest sister of sisters, who is given a lot of responsibility at a young age and still tends to take on too much at the best of times, it was like a liberating thought. It actually set me free to be with God, not work for God, to be with God, to get to know him and to recognize how much he loves me, and then out of that love, to offer myself, all of myself, to play a part in his beautiful plan for creation. What a savior. Now, God's story, his plans and purposes for us, may not always match our desires. We may think we know what's best for us, but we don't. We don't see the big picture. But as we pray, your will be done, we can lay down our own needs and desires and yield to God's purposes and plans. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, first we can pray our desires. Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Can you heal my loved one? Can you get me that job? But then we finish our prayer by deferring to our Father, who loves us and knows what's best for us. We pray with Jesus, yet not what I will, what you will. I really appreciated Pastor Daniel's preach on hope on the first Sunday of Advent. He reminded us that God invites us to bring our desires to him. That is natural and right. But we need to recognize that our hope is not in our desires fulfilled, as if God was a genie. Our hope is secure in God's kingdom coming in its fullness, when God will wipe out all the tears from our eyes and he will make all things new. People of hope live for the future. I had the privilege of hearing J.I. Packer speak. He's the author of the Christian classic, Knowing God, and many other books. He spoke at chapel, and I was struck because he suggested that we as Christians should spend at least 5 minutes every day thinking about eternity and the new heavens and the new earth, and getting comfortable with that. After all, we're going to be spending way more of our time there than here. And it also helps to put our troubles here in perspective. A favorite passage of mine that speaks to this comes from 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. And it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." And as a person who's maturing, I can vouch for this. "Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory which far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Things are not what they seem. Now, while our light and momentary troubles, in quotation marks, may not feel that way to us today, in the big picture, they are fleeting. We are surrounded by his kingdom. So we can pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And we know that our Father is working. I pray these lines all the time these days for most situations. It has become my go-to prayer. But I didn't always pray it. I grew up in a Mennonite house, and we were taught, not in the house so much, but maybe in Sunday school, and not in so many words, it wasn't directly, but indirectly, we were taught that what we didn't want, that's what we were going to get. Where we didn't want to go, that's where God was going to send us. I never wanted to pray, like that was just like scary to me. Can you imagine a God like that? No. As I've read and studied the Word and developed a deeper relationship with God, I found the opposite to be true. Amen. He gives me the desires of my heart as I delight myself in him. And I find myself only praying for what he wants for me and for those I love. Because I know that he is good, I know that he loves me, and he knows best. He sees the big picture. Thank you, Jesus. Now please understand that it has been a journey of walking and talking with the Lord, reading his word and getting him to know him better, that gives me the confidence and the desire to pray this prayer. I didn't start there. We all start from where we're at now. And I encourage each of you today to take a step towards trusting our Father more. I've found him to be a gentle and patient shepherd. And as I've been thinking about this, I was like, the Spirit reminded me that unless we understand how much God loves us and how good he is, it would be almost impossible to pray this prayer. Unless we understand that he is good and kind and generous, it would be difficult to give more than lip service to these lines. Unless we really believe that he is working out all things for our good, even when sometimes it looks and feels like the opposite of that. When things are taken away from us, our health, our loved ones, our jobs, our hopes, our dreams, unless we trust our Father, unless we see the big picture, there's no way we could or would pray those lines. So before we continue, I'm going to take a moment to remind you of how much you are loved. I'm going to read the word of the Lord over you and ask Holy Spirit to speak into your hearts. You didn't know this was going to be a congregation participation Sunday, did you? Back in the day, if this would have happened in our church, Scott would have been like out that door as fast as that. But don't be afraid. Everybody stay seated. It's not going to be too scary. The Lord wants to meet with you today. Amen. Maybe this can be the first step that you take towards trusting him more. So I'm going to invite you all to shut your eyes. And if you're comfortable, open your hands. It's just an attitude of receiving. And let's all take a deep breath in and out. And I'm going to pray for us first. Holy Spirit, we breathe you into our hearts. Would you please come and use your word like a hammer to break up and remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh? Would you please speak to your people this morning through your word? Let them experience your love with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now please listen and receive these words of truth from your Father. You are my beloved children. I chose you before the foundation of the world. I created you and I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I number the hairs on your head, and I think more thoughts about you than there are grains of sand on the seashore. I call you my sons and my daughters. I loved you even while you were still a sinner. I love you so much that I died for you, so you wouldn't have to die. I love you with an everlasting love. I call you by name. I call you friend. I delight in you and I sing over you. You are the apple of my eye. You are precious to me. You are beloved. Please take another breath and let's sit in this moment for just a second. Holy Spirit, would you please sear these words into our hearts and our minds? And would you seal them there? May we walk in the knowledge that we are loved by the Creator of the universe, who is faithful and good and unchanging. Help us to abide and stay in that love. May your love transform our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for participating. Knowing that we are loved by God is a game changer. And I'm not talking about knowing up here. I'm talking about knowing in here. I've made copies of those verses for those who would like them. They're going to be right up here on the speaker. And after the service, help yourself. I encourage you to memorize these verses and rehearse them over and over, out loud, speak them over yourself until you believe them from the bottom of your heart. I would also like to extend an invitation for you to come up for prayer at the end of the service if you felt blockage there. If you were like, yeah, it's going in here, but it's not going in there, please come up at the end of the service. We have a lot of people who would love to pray with you. Don't stay stuck. I'd like to invite Holly and the band to come up. As I close, I want to remind you that you are so loved by the Creator of the universe, and He is good. And His will for you, for me, for His creation and the whole world is perfect. And our future with Him is glorious. He is our Father who we can trust. So we can pray the Lord's Prayer from our hearts. And I'd like to invite you to stand up now and join me. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I want to finish it with, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen.